immediate custody of his child because it was determined by Health and Human Services that he was living in a home where a convicted or charged sexual offender had been living. Mr. Schaefer had lost his job, was temporarily unemployed, and had moved with his then 2.5-year-old daughter into his mother's home. He was unaware that his stepfather had this conviction. The affidavit under which they took the child, which is part of the transcript in this matter, also states that Mr. Schaefer was unaware that there was this sexual conviction pending, or sexual charge pending. And secondly, that affidavit goes on to set forth that Mr. Schaefer immediately moved out of the home. At that point, Mr. Schaefer cooperated with the system, and the child was returned to him. His daughter, Shireen, was returned to him. However, the child was then again taken by the direction of Angie Stovall, who is a supervisor at Health and Human Services, and she was taken for a reason that Ms. Stovall, according to the record, had read a report submitted by the school that Mr. Schaefer had complained at the school that his then kindergarten-age daughter was lockering, had to locker with a male when all the other children in the same class lockered with people of the same sex. What Mr. Schaefer did is Mr. Schaefer bucked the system. Mr. Schaefer complained to Ms. Stovall's supervisors, complained to anyone that would listen to him, complained to the governor's office that he was being unfairly treated. Ms. Stovall testified that she spent as much as 10 times as much time on this case in her role as supervisor than that of any other case. Let's go briefly to the testimony of Dr. Davis, who is the state psychiatrist. I would point out that Dr. Davis and Dr. Peterson, their second doctor, saw Mr. Schaefer each one time, and that was during the year 2007. Dr. Davis testified that all he found was a mental disorder, but it was something that he considered minor and something that he considered temporary. And that is on page 17 of the original testimony. And I might point out to the court that the testimony is really broken down into two parts. Right in the front of my brief, there's a note that spells this out. I got into the case in the middle after there had been 3 days of testimony, and there was an 11-month break between the last 3 days of testimony. When I ordered the bill of exceptions, the last 3 days was submitted, but not the first 3 days. Eventually, we went back and found it. But what you've got is you've got 6 volumes of bill of exceptions. Both of them that start on page one. First 3 start on page one. The second 3 start on page one. Then, going to Dr. Peterson, who is the other doctor that testifies in this matter, Dr. Peterson testifies that Mr. Schaefer has a warm relationship with his child, and that any termination of this relationship would be very detrimental to both. Then we go to Bob Neve, N-E-V-E, who is a psychologist with Region 6, who contracts with Health and Human Services. Mr. Neve sees Mr. Schaefer on a regular basis. And how many times does he see him? He sees him 81 different times in a period of 118 hours. And Mr. Neve testifies, although he's contracted by Health and Human Services, Mr. Neve testifies when asked to describe Mr. Schaefer, he says he is a sharing father, attached to his daughter, and a good guy. That's on page 106. Again, Dr. Peterson states the same thing. Dr. Peterson states on page 121 that any termination of the relationship between Mr. Schaefer and his child would be detrimental to both. Now, we go from there to Angela Hurley. Angela Hurley, as I mentioned earlier, is a supervisor that was upset with Mr. Schaefer. Angela Hurley actually testifies that during 2007, Mr. Schaefer had semi-supervised visitation, which she terminated. And when asked why she terminated it, and I quote from page 168, she stated, because Mr. Schaefer had vented on the system and on the court, on Health and Human Services and on the court system. He had actually vented. He had actually got upset with them and told them why he was upset. Now, we go from there to, excuse me, I have problem with this light. I have macular degeneration problem. Let's go next to Mary Johnson. Mary Johnson is a psychologist. She originally recommends that Mr. Schaefer receive his daughter back. They have a party to celebrate that Shireen is going back to live with her father. To this party, Doug Johnson, who's a judge in the same juvenile court, brings pizza to the party. Now, Doug Johnson had ruled on this case previously. There was an evidentiary hearing. It's on page 144 of the transcript. There is an evidentiary hearing where Judge Johnson ruled on the matter, continued some things, and accepted four exhibits into evidence. There's an objection made to Mary Johnson's testifying, and it's requested that Judge Daniels recuse himself because he sits on the same court as Judge Johnson. Now, that's when the 11-month break comes. Nothing happens for 11 months. That's when I become involved during that 11-month period. When we go back to court in 2009, Judge Daniels says on the record, we took the break so that we could go to Lincoln, and there is no conflict here, and we're going to proceed. Now, the judge's rules require that the judge recuse himself if there is impropriety or an appearance of impropriety. That's a very broad rule because you just can't put all the circumstances that might be improprieties into that rule. What happens is Mary Johnson is then allowed to testify, and we got to go back to the basic idea of juvenile court. That's reunification with the parent. Mary Johnson at one time said reunification was good and possible and do it. Now Mary Johnson comes in a year later and says Mr. Schaefer's parental rights should be terminated. And Angie Hurley, with her bachelor's degree from UNO in family sciences, is allowed to testify over objection that Mr. Schaefer's parental rights should be terminated. However, on cross-examination, when she starts to explain that there's a very strong bonding between Mr. Schaefer and his child, the state objects to her testimony, saying she doesn't have the background nor the education to make that recommendation. Next, we have Jenny Davis. She is the fourth or fifth step-parent that Shireen has lived with during this period of time. She comes to testify, and she testifies from her observation, there is a close relationship when she sat in on visitations between Mr. Schaefer and his daughter Shireen. But she further testifies that it is her desire to adopt Shireen as her own child. And she further testifies that she's been told by Health and Human Services that she will be allowed to do this as soon as we get the Mr. Schaefer matter taken care of. That is in the record, in her testimony. Next, we go to the statute.
So the court would have been aware of that.
Pardon me?
So the court would have been aware of that.
The court was aware of that.
And took that into consideration.
Yes.
Gave it the...
The court could have taken that into consideration.
The court thought was appropriate.
And Judge, in all honesty, she, in her preliminary part of her testimony, Jenny says that she has four other children. Her husband is the vice president of Bellevue College. She is a stay-at-home mom, and she appears to be an excellent mother. But she actually says it's her desire to adopt that child, and that she's been told she'll be allowed to do so. If you go to the statute, the statute is seven paragraphs, as you know. The first one that is neglect, it's section number two. Has Mr. Schaefer neglected? I would ask that the state's attorney get up here and give us some testimony or tell us somebody who said that Mr. Schaefer had neglected his child at any time. Judge Castle, earlier you mentioned that Elizabeth H. case. One of the key things that the judge also found was that 15 of 22 months rule. That's part 7 of that statute. You mentioned that Elizabeth H. case, and you mentioned the burn and the bad housekeeping.
Mr. Hartman, just so you know, I'm Judge Irwin.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, that's right. We replaced you. Replaced Judge Castle.
Okay.
Judge Castle mentioned that Elizabeth H. case. What he didn't say in that Elizabeth H. case was that there had been 48 months of abandonment. The mother testified, and that's a mother that got custody, that basically terminated the parental rights by a guardianship. The mother had seen that child 12 times in 48 months. Now, if you go to Section 7 of the statute that we're here under, you will see a situation where 15 of the last 22 months, if the child is in foster care, that is an important thing. I'll give up my last minute to finish, okay? May I do that, Judge?
Yes, you may proceed.
That child is in foster care 15 of the last 17 months. Mr. Schaefer was in court 31 times. There's 450 pages of transcript. He was there at every opportunity trying to get his child back. He made every effort to get his child back. Another thing that I want to mention briefly in my last few seconds here is the hearsay. The hearsay that's admissible. You go back and you read that record. They put Angie Hurley on the stand, and she's got a stack of records, and she's going to put those in evidence, and she's going to report on reports. Now, the rule in it in juvenile court, I'm told, if it's dispositional in nature, it comes in. If it's dispositional in nature, it doesn't waive your right to confront the people that are testifying against you. It doesn't waive Ludie Schaefer's right to do that in the most important thing, most important decision that this court can make, and that is the termination of parental rights. The state has no evidence of any neglect. The state admitted hearsay evidence. The state had a judicial violation. The judge should have disqualified himself, should have recused himself, and didn't. And there is... The only answer is to, and we're not asking that the termination of parental rights, all we're asking is that that be set aside and that we go back to juvenile court. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Martin. How much time will we be allowing to go over? Would you please add that to the end of this time? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Renee Mathias. I'm a Deputy Douglas County Attorney. I represent the appellee. Opposing counsel gave a lot of arguments. I first think the most important thing to establish is the timeline in this case. Little Shireen was removed from her father's care in December of 2003. The state filed a termination of parental rights in January 25th of 2008. With regards to out-of-home placement, she was out of her father's care from December of 2003 to April of 2007, was with her father for about 3 months. Or 5 months, and then was removed from her care, from the father's care, due to a judicial termination on the fault of the father. Opposing counsel gave a lot of mention on stuff that is irrelevant, the reasons why little Shireen was pulled, and things that that occurred up until the termination of parental rights. I think for the purposes of the state's argument, this argument. Clearly, we have 15 out of 22. We meet the requirements, and this court is pretty clear on the, you just look at the number 15 out of 22, and then we go to best interest. And so I think
that's the real question, isn't it? I mean, the best interest?
Absolutely,
Judge. Because there was evidence of the bonding between this child and father.
There was, but I think you look at the totality of the circumstances. Opposing counsel did... mentioned with regards to Dr. Peterson and Dr. Davis that there was a bond, but I think in looking at Dr. Peterson's argument as a whole, I'd like to quote from page 102 of the transcript. Dr. Peterson also recommended that it was no longer appropriate for the appellant and Shireen to become reunified based on her entire evaluation, particularly from Dr. Peterson's repeated perception that the appellant is unable to frequently prioritize his daughter's needs over his own, which poses a risk to Shireen. And as this court ruled in In Re Interest of Sunshine H, I think this quote that the court used in this case is paramount to this case. This is what this case is about. When a parent is unwilling or unable to rehabilitate him or herself within a reasonable time, the best interest of the child requires determination. A child cannot or should not languish in foster care to await uncertain parental maturity. We tried with this father. We tried repeatedly. He would not. And I think there is something to be said about the diagnosis that Dr. Davis and Dr. Peterson gave with paranoid personality disorder. He could not cooperate. He could not remove himself from these conspiracies that we were all out to get him. And put the needs of Shireen above his own. It wasn't he was fighting the system. He was paranoid. And he was he had all these conspiracy theories that we were all out to get him. His own therapist, Dr. Neve, stated that when he met with him on a regular basis and when he took his medication, he did see improvement, slow improvement, but improvement. And we were still willing, in January of 08, when we had these, that he was still willing to participate, even though it was very slow improvement. But the Mr. Schaefer, on his own, against court's order, against every medical professional, stopped seeing him and took himself off his medication. And Dr. Neves stated that when he did see Mr. Schaefer after he, on his own, took himself off his medication, he noted a deterioration, a significant deterioration in the appellant's behavior. And the appellant didn't cooperate. Angie Hurley testified that after Shireen was removed the second time, she went months and months without hearing from the appellant. She tried to set up therapy, she tried to set up visits, she tried to work with him, and he refused to cooperate. He refused to once again put his own needs over his daughter's. And I think looking at the testimony, we don't just have a caseworker who's testifying to best interest. We have the 1184 team who recommended termination. We have Dr. Peterson who basically recommended termination. We have Angie Hurley. We have Mary Johnson. And then Stephanie Armstrong did testify. I don't think we can use her testimony to prove any of the elements that we have to establish for the termination of parental rights, but her testimony is paramount to, I think that the court can utilize this testimony in addressing best interests. And she stated that she doesn't recommend any continued contact because of what that contact does to Shireen. With regards to the bond, the state would, when Mr. Schaefer was cooperating and putting Shireen's needs over his, I do believe that there was a bond. However, I think the more he deteriorated, when he stopped working with the professionals and looking through the entire transcript of how many visits that there were that little Shireen was either hiding from him under a table or hiding behind caseworkers or hiding behind visitation workers or coming back and saying, "I'm afraid of my father," I think that bond has significantly deteriorated. And by the time we went to the termination of parental rights, the judge had suspended visits, and I think that's very important for this court to take into consideration because of the nature of what those visits were doing to Shireen. Unless there are any questions, the state is just requesting that this court affirm the decision.
Thank you very much.
Thank
no
you.
Questions.
Thank
you. That. The appellant is out of time.
Yes.
Very well. The matter will be deemed submitted, and the counselor are excused. Judge Irwin, thank you for joining us. Judge Castle will be.